McLean County's top Republican says her party is ready to fight off Democratic challenges on several new fronts in the 2020 election. Connie Beard says they're excited about the incumbents who've announced re-election campaigns and for new faces like Adelita Cruz and Jordan Baker, who are running for the county board. Beard also spoke to WGLT's Ryan Denham about the rare GOP primary coming in March between incumbent auditor Michelle Anderson and challenger Tricia Mallott.
I believe in choice. I think it's good for people to have a motivation for getting out into the primaries. And so they will have some choices to make, as well as on the state representative race between Dan Brady and David Blumenschein. So I think this primary is not going to be the boring little primary that sometimes it's painted out to be, like, why should I go vote? There aren't any choices. Well, you do have choices, and we need to make sure the voters realize that.
Have you heard from Michelle Anderson whether or not she does plan to seek another term as
yes,
auditor?
Yes, she is. She's seeking another term.
So what does the party do in this case? You just sort of put your hands up, we're staying out of it? Or how does that work?
It may sound like that I'm overly thankful, but I am, you know, in some ways, because it is hard when you have good people wanting to run, to take sides. But the bylaws of the McLean County Republicans specifically states that we cannot endorse in a primary. So especially as chairman, I take a neutral stand. The voters need to be the one to decide who's going to be the Republican representative for any given spot. So although I am wanting to have our best candidate move forward, at the same time, I'm grateful that I'm not having to be put in the position of picking one candidate over another because of the way our bylaws are written. So I just have the privilege of being able to support all of our candidates at this stage equally.
Republicans currently hold all 8 countywide elected offices. You referred earlier to Kathy Yoder, who's running for re-election as coroner. Don Everhart is running again for circuit clerk. Michelle Anderson, as you mentioned, is facing a primary challenge but is running again for auditor. Back in 2018, Democrats ran one countywide candidate, Nikita Richards, who lost to Kathy Michael. Now Democrats are running 3 countywide candidates, at least, for circuit clerk, auditor, and coroner. So how does your party plan to respond to that political aggression, at least, and to hold on to those seats?
Oh, I think, you know, opposition generates interest, generates conversations, generates people being more focused on the election. So we have no fear of the competition. We believe our principles as Republican servants in operating and serving the people are far more beneficial to the economy, to the well-being of the county, than what the Democratic candidates are bringing. Plus, just basic experience. Our candidates have experience and knowledge in their various fields that the Democratic candidates really aren't bringing to the table. So I think once voters have a chance to look and see and learn, dealing specifically with issues and skill sets, then I think the choice will be obvious that our Republican candidates offer so much more.
Could that be a strain on your resources, you know, boots on the ground, financial resources, things like that?
I see things like this is an opportunity to invigorate our boots on the ground, our base. For many years, we have assumed that McLean County was always, you know, going to be Republican. And that tends to kind of, I think, create a complacency at times among voters and supporters. Well, now's not the time for complacency. We have to be energized. We have to be awake to the challenge and take the steps needed. I have every confidence that we have the resources needed and the people. We do not have perhaps the same kind of financial resources. We don't have billionaires and unions in our pockets, but we do have people across the county who are determined that this is not going to be a situation where the Democrats are going to try to flip our county into a blue county at all. We're confident about it. I think the voters are more engaged when they see a candidate's engaged, and so our candidates are going to have to be and will be engaged in the process. And I think that's the exciting part of the political world, is to see people reaching out to voters and delivering their message. I do hope that we can refrain from some of the actions that happened during the 2018 election that the focus will be on the issues and the skill sets of the various candidates, and not try to turn the discussion into something that is libelous or is inflammatory. I think we need to trust the intelligence of the voters to hear the message of the issues and the abilities of the candidates and make their decisions without resorting to tactics that would be more of a Chicago-style politics rather than what we know here in McLean County is that we value.
Yeah, and to that end, the Chicago-style politics thing is a point I've heard you make before. We're kind of referring to the tactics of kind of current constitution of the local Democratic Party. The Democrats, though, have had some fun with that recently. I think they had a candidate announcement event maybe a few weeks ago where they promoted, like, Chicago-style hot dogs were going to be served at this event. I mean, do you plan to continue that sort of line of attack given their response to this?
I think what we have to be quick to identify are tactics that are not tactics that we use here in McLean County, but indeed are the kind of things that are used up in Chicago. I don't think any of us want McLean County to turn into Chicago. People are leaving Chicago to escape that and to try to replicate the kind of tone and tenor of the political world that we see in Chicago here in McLean County is the last thing voters want.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm sitting with Connie Beard, the chair of the McLean County Republican Party, in their new headquarters on Landmark Drive in Normal. So, Connie, as an official member of the fake news media, I am legally obligated to ask you about the impeachment inquiry that has now entered sort of a new public phase this week with some testimony and some hearings. What do you make of what you've seen so far?
Well, I keep listening for solid evidence to be presented in the testimonies. We weren't hearing anything for several weeks because it was all done behind closed doors, and none of the transcripts were being released except in snippets. So it was hard to understand that there was any real evidence being presented, and apparently there really hasn't been. All we hear now in the public testimonies are hearsay and opinion and extrapolation of supposed conversations and layering meaning onto somebody else's words without yet really having heard them firsthand. So I'm not seeing anything in the impeachment hearings that are close to presenting impeachable offense. One of our own Illinois congressmen starts to believe that hearsay evidence is as good as actual evidence, then it's disturbing that these are the people that are making decisions about the impeachment proceedings. We should never be basing our important work such as this on hearsay evidence. That does not serve the public good. That does not serve our sense of law and justice in our country by doing so. And I think it's an abuse of the system that they're taking place right now. The results of the first day of impeachment public hearings, I think the Democrats failed across the board in being able to present any real reason why President Trump should be impeached.
So do you see anything troubling about Trump's conduct as it relates to Ukraine? Is there anything that's in the back of your mind saying, like, I wish he wouldn't have done that?
Well, I don't see that he's done anything that differently than presidents in the course of the United States history have always used leverage and persuasive methods to deal with other countries. That's part and parcel of what their responsibility is in representing, is let's get the best deal that we can. Whether what he was doing was unethical, I know they keep alluding to the fact he was trying to undermine a political opponent, but there never was anything that was delivered as a quid pro quo to meet that requirement that supposedly he was making of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. President Trump says things many times that you cringe at. I'm the first one to cringe. I don't think we elected him to be an example of elegant decorum and polished prose. I think we elected him to get our country set back on track and to push back the effort that's underway to diminish our freedom, to diminish our republic. So I've heard the expression that we didn't elect him. We elected him to be a warrior. And just like George C. Scott was not the most polished, well-spoken or genteel individual in World War II, Eisenhower wanted him in place because he needed a warrior. And sometimes that's where we find ourselves, that we need somebody to go to battle. We may not like the verbiage. We may not like his tone. But when you look at the economy and the progress that's being made, then how can you deny that he's not doing the job?
People would probably come back at you and say, if he is doing the job, there are accomplishments to point to, such as the economy, for example. But they're still troubled by these conversations with the Ukrainian president and the notion of a quid pro quo, even if it's not completed, and even if the aid is released. You know, we've sent governors to prison before for trying to do a quid pro quo, right? So there's some precedent for that. So I think people are separating those two things, like his accomplishments versus still being troubled by this.
Oh, I acknowledge that there's things that can be troubling. But the overwhelming point is that he has not crossed the line. He has not done unethical or illegal actions as president. That leads back to the reason why this impeachment process is foolish, and it's a waste of our energies and time. It comes out of a vindictive group of Democratic leaders that are just so determined, as they have been from the beginning. They were talking impeachment when President Trump first took his oath of office.
Do you ever just think to yourself, like, boy, it would be easier if President Mike Pence was in office, if these things we want as conservatives, as Republicans, would be so much easier to accomplish with a more traditional leader in the Oval Office? Do you ever think about that?
Oh, I'm a fan of Vice President Pence, very much so. And I admire the man. I truly do, for many, many reasons. But and I go back to saying, yes, I wish somebody sometimes would take the tweet away from President Trump, because I think he does tend to overuse that. But when I look at the circumstances that led up to the election of President Trump, you saw the people across the middle of the country who felt that someone finally was having their voice and having the strength and the determination to go to battle for them. And that, I think, is what resulted in the election, that you had people who were just desperate to find someone who was really wanting to be their champion. And although Mike Pence certainly holds a lot of the same principles and ideals in terms of policy that President Trump does, but he doesn't have the fire in his belly. We were not finding anyone until President Trump came along to frame it in the way that the voters that support the Republican Party needed to have its state, and not be fearful of it, not back off and not be afraid. Calling it for what it is, calling the lies and calling the twisted information that was being presented for what it is. And that comes across to many people sounding harsh, he's not being polite, he's not being civil, we tried polite and civil, and it didn't do anything for us. So at this stage of the game, I do think we needed a warrior. I hope that we'll let him fight the hard battle and that we'll return back to being polite and civil. That's in my nature. I don't want to go down that route personally.
Because it seems like your strand of conservatism and being a Republican is very polite and civil. You've called repeatedly for civility in local elections. A lot of local Republicans are pretty polite and civil. I mean, that's sort of what they're known for. So how do they don't square to me?
Well, I think it's the amount, because, and I think part of it is because here in McLean County, we have for many years had polite, civil government and conversations. And then we have this influence coming in of not the polite and civil any longer. That's not the tone or way we're supposed to be operating.
But who do you think started that?
I think it's filtered in from, and again, maybe this is the old phrase, Chicago-style politics. That this idea that we need to be harsh and ugly, I think, came from a bit of a desperation, because the principles of the Republican Party and how it serves the community and how it serves our people, I think, are solid. We've seen that in the history of McLean County.
2020 is probably going to see pretty high turnout. It's going to be the first time President Trump has himself been on the ballot since 2016. And so to bring this full circle back to the beginning part of our conversation, so how do you plan to protect local candidates, county board candidates, state house candidates, from any unpopularity that Trump may face in Illinois, which is, you know, still a very blue state?
What we will be needing to focus on is what is happening here in McLean County. I suspect that the Democratic Party in McLean County will continue to try to tie local politics into national politics. The national politics are very, very important. However, what impacts day-to-day life for citizens is what happens in the local politics, really more so than what happens in the national politics. So our focus needs to be on what's happening here in McLean County.
That's McLean County Republican Party Chair Connie Beard speaking to WGLT's Ryan Denham. You can find more political coverage at our website, WGLT.org. Just click Politics and Government on the news drop.